Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Religion is kind of on the table quite a lot at the moment. And a recent survey by the Irish National School Teachers Organisation, the INTO, has revealed that the majority of primary school teachers advocate for secular patrons and believe that faith formation, i.e. the confirmation and communions, should no longer be part of a classroom experience. Now, I look at this two ways. One, that obviously they want to disconnect religion from schools, but the other one is that the teachers just couldn't be bothered and they're not interested in doing it anymore. It takes up too much time. Most primary school teachers believe it should not be done or not be the school's responsibility to prepare children for communions and confirmations and first confessions. And the sentiment is echoed by nearly half of the teachers surveyed, who feel that the religious qualification shouldn't be a prerequisite for teaching either. However, the discussion isn't just one-sided. Proponents of maintaining religious education argue that it upholds the ethos of Catholic schools, which constitute approximately 88% of schools in Ireland. They believe that religious instruction is integral to the identity and the values that these schools impart. Now, this brings us to the question. Should the requirement for a religious certificate to be removed from the hiring criteria for primary school teachers? Should communions, confirmations and first confessions be left out altogether? I mean, we'd love to hear your thoughts. Do you believe that these kind of religious cornerstones or milestones in life should be prepared in school, or should it be done in your own private time? Should we have a more secular approach to it? Let me know what you think. The number, as usual, if you want to WhatsApp, is 087-188-0008. Now, if you want to come on and you don't want to give us your opinion on, you get on the air, that's fine. All you got to do is text the message, "Let me on," to 087-188-0008, and the producers will call you. So please do that and get involved in the conversation. The real question is it time we got rid of confirmation and communion out of schools in Ireland? Let me know what you think. As I said, the number is 087-188-0008. Now, let me go to Morris, who is a religious man. Morris, hi, how are you? I can understand teachers saying that it's a bit of an inconvenience, takes up a huge amount of class time, and it's something that maybe religion is a private thing, that you should do that maybe on Saturdays or Sundays.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it should be outside the school education for two reasons. Now, I have a granddaughter who's making it next year in England. Sorry, next May, May the 10th. It's common. But they're doing it in the English schools, Catholic schools, outside the school. Mm. Lola has to fill in the sheet every time she goes to Mass.
But England is not a Catholic country, per se.
I understand that, but she lives in a Catholic community.
Oh, okay.
And she goes to a Catholic school. Are you with me?
So
they adhere to the Catholic rule and regulations, right? But it's not as stringent as here. Mm. We were beaten black and blue. If you don't look at God, you'll die in heaven, or you'll go to heaven hell for your sins, right?
Yeah.
That's it. My son was told us, you better believe in God or you'll go to hell for your sins.
Yeah.
And my sister grew up with that, and she's 82, and she still remembers being...
I remember it. I remember the catechism being kicked into you. Yeah, I remember all
that. They
done
it to us all.
Yeah. Well, I do apologise for that. We seem to have a slight technical issue tonight that we hopefully will get sorted out, and hopefully it is sorted out. It won't happen again. I do apologise to Morris for that in the middle of a conversation. But yes, back to the conversation at hand. And that is about primary school teachers. They have overwhelmingly voted to do away with their responsibility to prepare children for communions, confirmations and first confessions, etc., etc. Because they say it takes up too much school time. And also there's this kind of idea as well that they have to know all about it and they have to be involved in it. They may not want to be involved in all of that. I don't know why. Anyway, because they are a Catholic school after all, there is Catholic ethos. So the question I want to ask you tonight is, are they right to stay away from it and say, well, no, this is not our bag. You know, this should be something that's done privately, done at home. And let me know what you think. The number, as usual, is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008 if you've any thoughts. Now, I know people are texting in, by the way, with the question I asked at the start of the show is, would you fly for your country? That is not exactly what we want to talk about tonight, but I know people are getting involved in that part of the conversation as well. And I have to say, the majority of people who are texting in are saying they wouldn't die for their country. Hmm. See, so I think Morris, just to go back to Morris. Morris, I'm not surprised that people are saying they wouldn't die for the country. I do apologise for losing you there earlier on, Morris. You just say technical issue, and I hope it doesn't happen again. But said they wouldn't die for their country. The majority of people texting in.
Right, the younger generation. I've been a granddad, I suppose. I was brought up different, you know. I was brought up in the troubles in Republican times, in Free State times. I know about the struggles. I had families on both sides. And basically, I've got a love for this country that I'd be willing to shed blood for. Mm. That's how strong I love this land. When I take off my shoes and socks and I walk on the grass, I connect with this country. I'm 100% connected to this land and what it stands for, what we went through, why we're here today. I recently came across something in our history that, did you ever hear of penal rosary beads that were crocheted? You ever hear of them?
Oh, I've seen them. I've seen them. Like, I didn't know that was what they were called. Yeah.
Yeah, they're called penal rosary beads. And I know two girls that knit them and make them. And I get them and I give them to people. And you know who I gave a pair actually to the other day? And she's the most wonderful woman I ever spoke to. And she's a politician. Mary Lou McDonald.
Oh, okay.
She was out walking. I met her and I said, look, I have these. I'd like to give them to you for a present. And she understood and she knew about them. And basically what happened was during the penal times here, when we weren't allowed to practice our religion, and if you were caught by the English with rosary beads or anything religious or Catholic, they'd kill you. So people crocheted these.
Because they're easier to hide, yeah.
They hid them on the body and they kept their faith close to them. Mm. That's what it meant to them. They never lost their faith. So that's a great thing. That's an unusual thing and a thing that I'm very proud of, that people went to that extent. So even in those days, they lived every day holding onto their faith, knowing that they could be killed for what they had in their possession. That's a people that I'm very proud of and a land that I'm proud of. So that's what it means to me. And that's gone back hundreds of years.
Okay, hold on a second. Let me go to Jerry. Jerry, sorry for cutting you off earlier on too. I do apologise. We have a slight technical issue and hopefully it's resolved. It may or may not be resolved, but I hope it is. Jerry, just in relation, I think you wanted to make some comment about fighting for your country as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I was trying to say to you, like yourself, Niall, I was in the FCA. We used to call it the Free Clothes Association.
That's right, yeah.
But I was there for 5 years, got as far as sergeant, left then, I was happy to get the stripes. But, you know, it gave me an insight into, you know, a little bit of army life. No, the other chap on the phone to you there was full-time, which is a different thing altogether. But it did give me an insight into holding a gun and being with mates and, you know, the camaraderie and all this sort of stuff. And also the danger. I was nearly shot down in Waterford Barracks when the Gustav machine gun was supposed to be cleared out of bullets. And right. Wasn't cleared, it was in the breach. And the guy just demonstrating how to clear the gun, shot it over my head and a live bullet came out. I was so close to death.
Wow.
You know, that's the closest I've ever been. But, you know, on the other subject of dying for your country, I don't think I would. I think I've too much to offer my grandkids, hopefully my great-grandkids, if they, my grandkids have kids. I've not been selfish, but I've lived a long life. I've done a lot for my country. I've served my country, as I say. But I wouldn't die for my country because I don't think it's useful. As you said earlier on in the start of the program, you know, the dialogue and the pen can be a lot more stronger.
Yeah, my and the sword, yeah. Yeah.
A lot stronger. And it's been proven down through the ages where battles were fought, battles were won, battles were lost. But at the end of the day, it came up to the sitting down at the negotiating table. Mm. And it's the First World War, Second World War, the Boer War, all the wars that I've ever been have had that, you know, finale. And I hope that it will be the same thing with the war in Ukraine. That
at some point, somebody, there will have to be talks.
Yeah, he'll just get a pain in his backside, losing soldiers, you know, and losing a lot of...
I don't think that's going to happen if you get a pain. He'll just keep going, won't he?
I like father, but at the same time, there is a cost implication. The money talks. His, you know, his gas has not been bought anymore by Europe. A lot of reserves have been cut off. His oligarchs have been, you know, annihilated. There's no more, you know, the way they used to live. It's been curtailed.
And I can see, if America pull out of that particular war, when I say pull out, if they pull out of negotiations, I can see Trump probably getting a bit of a pain in his hoop and putting sanctions on Russia then. And that's really going to do damage to them.
Absolutely. Mm. You know, that's what needs to happen. Unfortunately, that's what needs to happen because I don't think it's a complete worldwide.
Yeah, but there has to be concession. You know, and I understand from a Ukrainian point of view how difficult that might be, but there... You know, to stop a war and stop innocent people dying, I always believe there has to be some concession. Anyway, getting back to the topic at hand, Jerry, you know, this idea that, you know, the communions and confirmations, they do take up a huge amount of time in the schools, a couple of months actually, in preparation for confessions and communions. So do you think it's time for them to go?
I think it's time for choices. Time, if parents want their children to be taught in a, you know, a school that teaches, or, you know, we're talking about Catholic schools, obviously, Catholic country.
Yeah.
But if parents want their kids to be taught the Catholic ethos and want them to be brought to confirmation and communion, that sort of thing, yes, it should be kept alive. But I think the difficulty in this country is, especially in rural Ireland, there's some villages and towns in Ireland that don't have choices. They only have maybe one school, and that's a Catholic school. And, you know, when say, a Muslim or whatever religion leads their kids into that school, they're going to be taught Catholicism. Now, that's going to be difficult for somebody who's not a Catholic.
Mm.
So, you know, I think the whole thing needs to be looked at and reviewed. I know the ASTI are out at the moment meeting with the minister, and they've said that they're not too keen to go forward.
Yeah, well, the INTO, this is. Yeah, the Irish National Teachers Organization, yeah.
They're not too keen on it at the moment because, like, they've enough on their plate. They have, you know, maybe a classroom of 30 kids. And at the end of the day, I suppose, when you look at schooling, it's about education. It's about getting through life, being taught your spelling, your maths, your geography, your history, whatever it takes. Religion, you know, you can get through life without religion. You can live a nice life without religion. And some people do. There's atheists and non-believers, and they live a perfectly nice life without having a God in their life.
Mm.
So I think, you know, I think it needs to be definitely looked at. It needs to be.
Well, I mean, that kind of brings us into the realm of separating church and state, right? And look, we've talked about that in education. But at this moment in time, that still exists. You know, 88% of the schools, the primary schools in Ireland, are, you know, Catholic schools. So parents expect them to go through the ceremonies and the traditions of communions and confirmations. But is it time just to even forget about removing religion from schools, but those traditions? Is it time to remove those traditions from the school, which take up a huge amount of classroom time? Or really, look, I suppose the argument is, okay, they take up classroom time, but we've been doing it for God knows how many years, and it hasn't bothered anyone up to now.
Yeah, but the country's changed so much now in the last 20 years. Yeah. We've all seen it. You know what I mean? I think I'm no expert on the statistics. But
let's not pander too much to change. But change is not always a good thing, is it?
Well, change can be good. Of course it can. Like, a lot of countries were built on change. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's not always good. Not, I mean, we can, there's certain changes, absolutely. You know, we evolve as a society. But not, you know, sometimes things in the past are not such bad things, you know?
No, all traditions are no harm, and like, in fairness to most religions, they do teach the basics of, you know, not, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, this sort of thing.
Mm.
And they're no harm to have. They're good guidelines. But I think the difficulty is when the person doesn't want to be taught those guidelines, maybe wants to have their own guidelines.
Mm.
They don't have a choice in this country. As you say, like, 80% of the schools are run by the
Catholic ethos. Yeah.
And I think that might need to change. Definitely needs to be looked at again, and more choices maybe to come into the picture.
Mm.
You know, as I say, rural Ireland has the biggest difficulty in this regard. Dublin is not too bad. Dublin has choices. You can go to, you know, the likes of Mount Temple, which is a multi-denominational school, and, you know, you can go to a non-religious school. That, you have a choice in Dublin, but I don't think you have that down the country. And unfortunately, a lot of people
educate together schools.
Yeah.
They can't afford to live in Dublin, so they're going to Roscommon, they're going to Leitrim, and, you know, they're going to the Connacht. You know, they're cheaper to live in Connacht, cheaper to buy, cheaper to live. And then they're faced with this one school in the town or village that only teaches through Catholicism. That's going to be difficult for people that are not Catholics. You know, I don't think, thinking back in my youth when my parents put me through a Christian Brothers school, in fact, I didn't have any choice in the matter, but my parents were quite happy to have me go to a Christian Brothers school. Because they were both Catholics.
Yeah.
You know, they were quite happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
But these days, I don't think parents are going to have that choice, especially in rural Ireland. But I think it needs to be revisited. Maybe there's some way of kind of having a school with a section dedicated to non-religious teachings. You know, that the children have a choice. They have choice in subjects.
Well, when we talked in general about religion in the schools in the past, maybe an hour at the end of the day, one teacher stays back and teaches religious instruction. And anybody who wants to do it stays back, and that's the rest of them can all go home.
That would be a way of doing it. Because I think, you know, it's going to continue in the country. We're not going to change overnight. We're going to continue being a Catholic country.
I don't know about that. It is, Ireland is changing quite radically. I mean, amongst all countries in Europe, we're changing the most, the quickest.
Yeah.
Niall. Yeah. Sorry, Morris, you want to say something? Go.
Yeah, no, I was just thinking there, like, I think I, to be honest with you, after coming through the school and system like you did and my brothers and sisters, I think that we're the generation, probably the last or the second last generation, I would take it out of the schools completely and put it in the hands of the community and the church. Do you know why? because the kids will get a proper education. When they're in school, they're there to learn. When they need religious instruction, they can get that outside of school, because it's all about beliefs, what your parents want you to believe in and what way they want you instructed religiously. Leave the education to the educators in the schools. Take the religion out and let the kids get a proper education, and leave the religion completely separate.
But my fear for Catholics, obviously, I don't have a fear because I don't believe in God. My fear for Catholics is, to be fair to them, if we take it out of the school system and it's left to be done privately, say on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon, you know, the preparation for communion and confirmation, I can see a massive problem in the fact that probably nobody would bother.
And to be honest with you, do you feel any different since you made your communion?
No, I don't. But here's the thing. As much as I don't believe in God and all that kind of stuff, I still think they're nice traditions. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Very much so. But there's no benefit to you. So it's just like a task. Do this, do that. You're grand now. It's okay.
Yeah, walk down the aisle with your hands joined and get some money. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it doesn't make you or break you, because I mean to say, you don't need religious instruction to feel the presence of God within yourself. You don't need to go to a big church and genuflect and put 20 quid in the plate and I'm a good Catholic, and then you're going now slagging everybody off the next day doing the devil's work. You know, don't be a two-headed coin. If you're a good person, you'll do good stuff. If you're a bad person, you won't have a good life.
Okay, all right. Well, listen, thanks for that, Morris. Let me just go to John. Jerry, stay with me. Let me go to John. John, hi, how are you?
Hello, Hawkins.
Good, John.
Just to know, before I get to the religious part, about fighting for your country, right? Unlike the cowards that are texting in or whatever, whoever they're sending in the message, and the caller over the line there, like, I mean, seems to be, he said he wouldn't fight either. Like,
no.
Like, if he was an Armada pulled off the coast of Ireland, we'll say next week or whatever, right? I reckon this country would be overrun and taken over within 24 hours. When you have a bunch of cowards that would stand back, like your other caller there, he seems to be not see the bigger picture. Does he want to live under Sharia law? I fucking certainly don't. I never will.
Okay, nobody mentioned Sharia law, but how and ever, yeah.
Well, then look, this is what you're coming in if you're talking about.
How do you know where people would be invading from? It was just a theoretical question.
They could
be British, they could be German, they could be French, they could be Spanish, it was just a theoretical question, John.
At the moment, we all know, like, I mean, the danger. The danger is, like, I mean, Islam. All around Europe.
Well, not necessarily. No, there's bigger dangers than Islam in this world.
Yeah, but I mean, at the moment, it seems to be...
And the danger only comes from fundamentalists. But, John, leaving aside the religious aspect of fighting for your country... And leaving aside, I made a theoretical question, which is, it doesn't matter, it could be France, Germany, whatever invades Ireland tomorrow, would you fight for your country? And I said, well, Jerry said he wouldn't. He's not picking up a gun and running down a beach.
That's what I said. I mean, people are already throwing in the towel, looking in the other way. There's only a couple of people protesting about what's happening, and they'll be battered off the streets. The rest of them are sitting in their fucking hole.
Yeah, but John, with respect, you know, like, and I please, I don't mean this as an insult to you, right? Okay. You know, you don't have a wife and three kids. Some people out there, young men, not like us who are a bit older, they've got a wife, they've got three kids, they've got a family, they've got a home. They don't want to lose their life. They want to be there when their kids grow up. They want to be there whilst their kids go to college. They don't want to run out onto a beach with a 50-50 chance of coming back.
If you want to see, like, your daughters, life's changed dramatically, but what could take over this country, this is what you should be fighting for, right? Mm. Because what we have is sacred and it's good and it's pure. And it's been diluted by the scum politicians like Martin and Harris and all the rest of them up there. And now we have the teachers now in the school now, as regards the religion, we get onto that now, right? Who half of them, we know they have their agendas. They have no problem.
I know, you're going to mention the funeral. You're going to mention them going over for the funeral. They're the same ones who promoted abortion. I know that you're going to mention that, Sean. And that's a separate topic. And by the way, I'm happy to do that again as another topic.
I'm just saying
I'm happy to do it as a topic another night. Absolutely.
Yeah, but I wasn't actually going to say that. What I was saying is that sometimes the greatest enemy is the enemy from within.
I've heard that line. John, let me get back to the topic at hand. I know everybody has an opinion. Maybe we should have done that other topic. But I know everybody has an opinion.
If I can get 2 words in, but I can't. You seem to be continuously talking over me tonight.
Oh, I'm sorry, John. I didn't mean to. Well, finish what you want to say. I mean, finish what you want to say then.
Yeah, I'm talking about the enemy from within. You're talking about the politicians who are elected and then turn on the people. You're talking about the teachers now who want religion out of the schools to suit them, because it suits a high percentage of teachers out there who are complete atheists anyway. They don't give a shit about what where children have been talking about sex education, how explicit it is or anything. And you made a good point a while ago when you said, I mean, your fear is that if it was taken out, if you were a Catholic, and it was taken out, and it's over to you guys now, the parents now, or the church now, Sunday morning, whatever, and the local parish hall, whatever, the danger is, like, I mean, that unfortunately, the kids have some chance of picking it up and being taught their religion, when all the other religions, Islam, Judaism, the whole lot, are taught in school, and at home, and on Saturdays and everything. But what is proposed here now is to take it out of the schools, right? So if it's up to the parents, I'm afraid a lot of people, as you just said, will not bother their fucking ass, simple as that.
No, they won't.
When all the other religions in the world are fighting, it's amazing, like, I mean, how this country, everything seems to be changed this, changed that, but nobody else is changing, like. They're not changing their customs, their cultures, their religion, but dear old Ireland, boy, let's change every fucking thing.
Yeah, I know you're not happy, and I understand, I can understand why, because you're a bit older, like myself, and I, you know, I've often said, just because something is old and it's traditional doesn't make it a bad thing, doesn't mean it has to be changed. And by the way, I'm all for societies evolving. Of course, societies must evolve. But yeah, we don't, like, you don't like have to, point, don't have to change everything. And I agree with you. You don't have to change everything.
Yeah, like the point that was made well ago, I don't wonder, Carlos, there. He said, like, I mean, that if you had one child and there was a, from another faith, like, well, tough shit. Why should we change the whole class and the whole ethos at that school to suit one pupil? He can go into another class or whatever and study something else or study his
own. That, well, that was Jerry that said that. Just quickly before I go into the break, Jerry, do you want to defend that position that you had, that there are children of other faiths and denominations in the classroom and it kind of isn't fair to segregate people like that?
Yeah, I think, as I say earlier on, I think the whole thing needs to be revisited and changes need to take place. You know, between the parents, the teachers, and the state itself, because the state can't kind of get out of this, can't wash its hands of it. It's part of the whole thing. Definitely needs a whole root and branch revisit in my books. It's going on too long. Every time this comes up, it's controversial, and you know, we're not really getting anywhere with it. And as I say, there's more people in the country now from other religions and other.
Yeah, but John makes the point. So what if there's other people from other, you know, whatever it is, backgrounds, religions? This is a Catholic country. This is Ireland. Other people adapt. Do they not have to adapt to our cultures, our religions? If you went to an Islamic state tomorrow and said, listen, you know, there's loads of Catholics moving in here, I demand you start building a few churches and start teaching Catholicism in schools. Good, yeah, exactly. Good luck with that, Jerry. That's not going to work, is it?
Most of the countries you're talking about don't have democracies. They're dictatorships. You know, like, you go to Iran or Iraq, they're dictatorships. You don't have choice. You have to go with their laws and their religions and everything like that. Mm. And you could be killed for not complying. Could be, you know, beheaded.
Look, the point that Carl was making is that, forget about dictatorships and all that. The whole thing is that, why should we, if one or two pupils come into a rural school or a city suburb school, whatever, right? And we have, just because then it's a Catholic school and Catholicism is being taught as a topic, right? And then you must get out your religious books and then the teachers start talking and lecturing on Catholicism. And all that must stop then because there's either one or two from another faith there. They can move them into another room, whatever. When I was going to school, there was a guy, he was in the Church of Ireland. And when the religious instruction is to start, he used to go into a room next door and he'd be writing an essay or something, whatever, the whole lot. But I'm sick and tired of our culture and our tradition and everything being absolutely wiped. We're going to accommodate everyone in the world, and if what will happen, we're going to make up on it these days and there'll be fuck all left.
Okay, stay there for a second, John. Let's try and avoid the language if we can. I know he's angry. The number is 087-188-0008. Maybe you agree with John, maybe you agree with Jerry, and we need to accommodate other people of other faith and traditions. Is it time we got rid of confirmation, communions, sacraments out of the school setting? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Let me just bring Thomas into this conversation if I can. Thomas, hi, how are you?
Well, Niall, how are you?
Good. You've heard what John said. We can't just keep giving concessions constantly all the time when it comes to religion and when it comes to Irish traditions just because, you know, some people believe we need change.
And you know what, like, when we think of when our state was formed,
like we're quite an impoverished state, and the government couldn't afford the education or the health. So they leaned on the church, and the church provided the education and the health here for the country. But the values of Ireland have changed. And even like now within our school curriculums, there's so much to cover. Like I'm a secondary school teacher, but I know in primary schools, like I have a lot of friends that are primary school teachers. There's so much to cover. And I see it now with first years coming in. The literacy levels in the country have declined. So there is need for more reading and writing and arithmetic in the curriculum. But like when we look at the statistics, the amount of people now who aren't identifying as Catholic and are saying that they've no religion. And even when we look at, say, the number of schools, like you're saying there, 88% of schools in the country, primary schools, are Catholic for primary level. But at secondary level, that's only 47%. And those schools are depleting. Like in my own area in Drogheda, when I was going to school, there was 4 Catholic schools and 2 non-denominational schools. There's now
Sorry for interrupting. Can I ask you a question? Just going back to what you said about literacy levels, you know, going down. How did we manage to educate a society 20 years ago and still manage to do all the ethos and the communion and confirmations, and all of a sudden now literacy levels are going down? Why is that? Why do you think that is? I don't know, you're not an expert, but why do you think that is?
Well, like from being in the classroom myself, like teachers are expected to be spinning so many plates now than they were 20 years ago. Like when I went to primary school, I went to a rural Catholic primary school, and when we were in school, there was 3 classes in 1 classroom. The teacher had to teach 4th, 5th, and 6th. And it got to a stage where when we got to 6th class, we actually started junior cycle work because we were so ahead because there's such a mixture of us. But the teacher went in and he taught Irish for an hour, he taught English for an hour, and maths for an hour every day. And then he'd do a bit of history, a bit of geography, a bit of science. Whereas now in our curriculums, there's such a focus on well-being and more arts, and all that is important, but our literacy levels are depleting. Like we hear now of, like, say, primary schools doing like talent shows and all this sort of stuff, which is fantastic for students' confidence, but it is taken away from curriculum time.
Yeah, you know? From the academic end of things. Yeah.
No.
Sorry, John.
That's a sad indictment, like on the teachers as well in my book, because the most basic is reading, writing, and maths. They're the 3 basic fundamentals of education. Learn how to read, learn how to write. You can especially set for reading as well. And maths, which you need in the world. Even if you're a plumber, electrician, whatever, or you're going into high finance, you need maths. They're the 3 basics. And if you can't find time for the building blocks, the 3 basics of education in 2025, there's something wrong with the teachers or the whole system. I don't know what's gone wrong, but the point you made there is, I mean, how did they teach all this stuff? How did people come out of school in the 50s and learn to read and write? People were brilliant.
You could argue a lot of people did come out of school and couldn't read and write, maybe in the 50s and 60s. Okay, but sorry, Thomas, because I'm running out of time, and I want to go to Sean as well. He's waiting for a while. But in relation to, you know, religious instruction, now we know in America, for example, it's against the rules to teach one particular denomination in any public school. You must teach all or nothing. In other words, they teach theology instead. But here's, John makes a good point. We live in a Catholic country. Now, I know our country is changing. Well, you know, I know our country is changing and there's a lot more denominations here and there's a lot more diversity here. But does that mean that we have to change?
No. Like you made a good point there in the American school system. Like in my school, we teach ethics rather than, because we're not a religious school. We teach about morals. When I went to secondary school, I went to a community school. So we were taught about 3 or 4 different religions with it. But we aren't a Catholic country like anymore. Like I'm a relatively young person still. I'm 27. And I do have some faith, but I wouldn't say I'm a staunch Catholic.
No. Okay, most people are not.
And I know, So, like, it's a sign of the times. And like that, we were only, like, it's not like Ireland was a staunch Catholic country for years and years and years. Like, we were a church state for a long time with De Valera and the whole lot and his beliefs with it. But I do think like that, like, change is positive, you know, and Like, if it's not as if we're asking all the people to have no faith or to ban faiths or anything like that. It's that when we look at other countries, say like England, children there that go to their Sunday mass schools or that their Catholic schools for Sunday for their religion, they generally have a stronger faith. Whereas the majority of children now, they're delighted to make their Holy Communion because it's putting a few pounds into the credit union. You often
brought this point up as well then when you're talking about this topic before. If you're over in England, right, and my own relations, like in your testament to this, right, there is a huge waiting list to get into Catholic faith-based schools because they feel there's a better education there. And they have no problem with the religion being taught. And some of them people are not even Catholics.
Okay, well, hold on, because I want to go to Sean, and I'm very limited for time here. I'm going to take a few more calls after the break on this because so many people are interested in this topic. Sean, hi, how are you?
How's things?
Good. Sean, you heard what Thomas said, and he's a teacher. You know, we are changing. We are evolving as a society. We're not as religious as we used to be. And maybe the teachers are right to take out these sacraments out of the school system.
No, I just don't agree with it. I'm 35. I'm young. I'm still youngish. I'm very religious. I believe in my faith. I'm Catholic. I grew up in England most of my life, and I didn't know what a Catholic was because it wasn't taught in that country. But I learned every other religion besides my own in England. And I don't agree with taking out of school. I don't. And religion is history as well. If you know, it's a sub.
Like can you not do it? Like, I'm not suggesting you remove all religion out of the school altogether, but you know, theology could be taught where you talk about all religions and not just Catholicism.
No, you see, that's the biggest problem we have. That's the biggest problem they have in England. From my, because my primary school was in England. My secondary school was in Ireland.
Yeah.
The biggest problem when we learnt religion in England, we learnt every other religion besides our own. Okay. Now, I didn't go to a Catholic school in England, and the last guy that was on talking about the Catholic schools having a wait list in England, that's true, because my mother tried to put me in one.
Yeah.
And it was impossible to get into a Catholic
school. They get good grades because they're well-run schools, yeah.
Yeah, they're well-run. I learned religion, but the thing about learning religion is, as a Catholic, we're willing to learn we're willing to learn about religion, but the other religions are not willing to learn about ours. That is where there's a fine line.
Yeah.
And I
know a lot of Catholics who are not willing to learn about Islam or Hinduism or Judaism or Church of Ireland. I think that kind of goes with most religions, doesn't it? Most religions believe their God is the only God, the one true God.
Yeah, no, you have a fair point there. You do have a fair point. But my problem is I would go to any other country in this world and I would follow, I wouldn't go change my religion. But I wouldn't try and bring my own religion into another country.
Yeah, you wouldn't demand they respect your religion in another country or another culture.
I wouldn't demand that.
Yeah, I mean, let me ask Thomas that quickly before I go into this break. Thomas, that's a fair question. You wouldn't go to, you know, I don't know, a country in the Middle East, Islamic State, and demand they teach Catholicism in the schools, because you wouldn't get very far.
Well, I suppose if we look at our own history there, like the Irish went abroad and we preached and we converted.
Well, the missions in parts of Africa, parts of Africa that were Catholic, Christians.
But like that, from my own experience, I haven't ever had parents, even in Catholic schools, demanding that they change the ethos. Like even, I know in the local Catholic school, the girls were told, the Muslim girls, you're going to have to remove your hijabs, they're not part of the uniform. And the parents were quite happy to do that because they wanted their children to go to that Catholic school. But talking about waiting lists, like in our town of Drogheda, the schools that are the non.
Can I go back quickly to, was this a secondary or primary school where they were asked to remove
secondary,
the hijab?
Secondary school.
So you have the right in a school to ask a girl, an Islamic girl, to remove her hijab. I don't know if you get away with that or not. I'm not too sure. Okay.
But that was the case in the school. But like, say, when I was going to school, so that was 10 years ago.
Oh, okay.
But it was, like, it's down to the school's ethos at the end of the day. And the parents were told, like, there is other options. And they wanted their girls to go to that school because they considered it that the Catholic school was providing a good education. Whereas now, as with the flip side of England,
we have a waiting list for the non-denominational schools. Like our school, every year we have a waiting list of about 300.
Well, that's because there's not that many of them. There's only a few of them are scattered around. Yeah.
And like in, well, in our town, we've two Educate Together schools and a very large non-denominational school. And we have four Catholic schools. But out of those four Catholic schools, two of them now have become mixed. And that's because they're losing so many students.
Okay, well, listen, I'm going to continue this after the break because so many people want to get involved in the conversation. Thanks very much indeed, lads, and I appreciate you getting involved. The number is 087-188-0008. Thomas, I might bring you back on again after the break, but they will give you a call back anyway if we need you, all right? I'm going to take a quick break. We'll continue this conversation, and it started off, well, it's kind of, we're generally talking about religion, I suppose, in schools, but it did start off talking about back the INTO and 50%, almost 50% of teachers believe that we shouldn't be teaching the sacraments, you know, communion, confirmation, confessions, that shouldn't be prepared in the schools because it's using up school time. And I want to know, according to what Thomas is saying as a school teacher, you know, it's tough being a school teacher and trying to squeeze all that stuff in, particularly nowadays. And, you know, that the literacy levels, as far as he's concerned, are down for a multitude of reasons. And he said, you know, that's better off out of the school altogether. But let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Getting back to religion in schools. Sorry, let me finish the conversation I was having with Thomas just before the break there. Thomas, there is an argument that, okay, you're a Catholic, you want religion in schools, so if you want your kid to make their confirmation or communion, do it outside of school hours. It's a private thing anyway, religion.
Yes, yeah.
Is that a fair argument?
Yeah, like, honest, Scott, I really think so, because, like, when we think of anything else, you want your child to do Irish dancing. You do it outside of school. Or if you're a farmer and you want your child to become a farmer, you're teaching them that outside of school. Because as I said, there's our literacy levels are dropping. There's so many needs now in schools and there really isn't the same.
But are all the new needs, these new needs in school, are they really necessary? Do you know what I mean? Well, you know what? They're extending the curriculum now in primary as well as the junior cert cycle to include more relationship studies and all this kind of stuff, which a lot of people have objected to some of the stuff they're trying to teach, right? And I think there's going to be problems with that down the road, protests and all sorts of nonsense. But anyway, the thing about it is, do we really need to be including a lot of stuff that we're including? You know, there's a limit to what you can fill a child's brain with. And I always believe that get the basics right and they leave school well-rounded. You know, once they know their maths, their science, their English, their, well, Irish if they want to do it. And, you know, and that's really it. And they can write.
Yeah, exactly. Like as you said before, it's your back down to your basics of reading, writing and arithmetic.
And science, of course, is very important too.
Science, history, geography and all of those. But as you said, when we get the basics right. But also by teaching multiple different religions, you're breeding understanding among students, and we wouldn't have a case then of hatred. I always think of the episode of Derry Girls because I'm also a history teacher. So when I teach the Troubles, I show them that episode where the Protestants and the Catholic children come together, and they're like, "Oh my God, Protestants are awful. They hate Abba," and they go through all of that. Whereas when we were at school, we were taught about Judaism, we were taught about Islam, and you're kind of going, Oh, yeah. But you know what? They're not that different to us even.
Yeah. Look, in all religions, you're going to find fundamentalists. You know what I mean? And there's always going to be fundamentalists who take the religion and interpret it the wrong way.
Yeah.
You know?
And like that, like when you talk to primary school teachers and you say, "Oh, what class have I got this year? Oh, geez, I've got the second years. Oh, I'll be flat out now getting ready for the confirmation or sorry, the communion and the confession." So there's so much of that class time taken out of it, whereas we could better utilize that to make sure that the students are, as we said, well-rounded individuals coming out of the system.
Okay, well, hang on there for a second. Let me go to Jacinta and I'm going to go to Francis as well. Jacinta, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
Good. Okay, so you have two questions really in one here, which is obviously the confirmations, communions and confessions, and then you've got the teachers also requiring a religious certificate to be removed for the hiring criteria for primary school teachers, and God only knows we need teachers. So, and this is in Catholic schools, of course. But your argument is they shouldn't be teaching in a Catholic school if they're not Catholics or they don't know the ethos.
Well, they shouldn't be teaching in the Catholic schools if they don't want to teach the ethos of the Catholic religion. That's my opinion. Yes.
And in relation to the sacraments, you know, the confessions, the communions, the argument there from Thomas and other teachers would be it takes up a lot of school time.
Yeah, but when I was going to school, that's what we were taught in our days. Why should that change now? Because of the people that are being brought into the country. This was our religion all of our lives and will be the rest of our lives. We're a Catholic country.
But it's changing. It's changing.
We make reservations for anyone else to come into the country, you know?
But the argument is, if you go back to my day, you know, when I was a kid in primary school and my dad would force me to go to Mass on a Sunday and ask me who was the priest and what gospel did he say? Like, we had five Masses, full houses, five Masses, seven priests in the neighbourhood, right, in the parish. Now,
yes.
I don't even think there's one priest. I think he's from another country because they can't get a priest. And you've got one Mass on a Sunday and it's half full. So realistically, the country has changed quite dramatically, Jacinta.
It has changed, yes, and I have changed my opinion of the Catholic religion as well.
Mm.
But it doesn't mean to say that I was not brought up as a Roman Catholic. And I have my opinions of the church, but it doesn't mean to say that I'm going to change my religion,
yeah,
or my children's religion or any of my family's religion to suit anyone else coming into the country.
Yeah, and see, Thomas, I kind of stand over that argument to some degree that, you know, us changing to make other people happy, you know, that's not assimilation. Mm. When people come to your country, they're meant to assimilate into your culture. Mm. We have our own identity and our own cultures.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. But whereas we now have Irish people who aren't identifying as Catholics, like only 53% of people in the last census between the ages of 25 and 29, which would be my age bracket, only 53%, so just over half of the population of that age group identified as Catholics. Now, obviously, some of those would be people moving into our country, but that is Irish people. Like, I have friends now.
Well, 20% of the population identify as non-Irish.
I don't identify as a Catholic either. I identify myself at the moment as a Christian.
Yeah, but you would, when the census came around, Jacinta, I don't know what you filled out. I'm assuming that you put Catholic down, Roman Catholic. Did you in the census?
Always put Roman Catholic down,
then,
yes.
Okay, but the point Thomas is making, younger people, forget about us for the moment. We're not the ones it really affects. But younger people, up to the age of 25, 27, only 53% of those actually identified as being Catholic. The rest are either atheists or other religions.
Maybe they don't know what they are. Maybe they don't actually know what they are.
Who doesn't know what they are?
Yeah.
I know what I am. You know what you are. Thomas knows what he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, we give us all some credit, I suppose, for knowing what we are. Sorry, Thomas, you want to say something to Jacinta there?
But even like that, like, I think the narrative keeps going back to, oh, people from other countries are coming in and they want to change, whereas that's nearly down to people only being taught Catholicism because they don't understand maybe the other religions, and so on. But like that, as I said, people my age that are having children now, like, or even like some of my colleagues who are in their 30s having children, and they're even saying, well, I'm not getting the child baptized, or even if they are, I'm getting it baptized for mommy's sake, you know?
Tradition.
And that's not maybe the right, like, they're not baptizing their child for the right.
I've said this before about communion particularly as well. The vast majority of young little girls who are going down the aisle in their nice pretty dress with their little handbag and umbrella in their hand are not thinking of holy God walking down the aisle. They're thinking, how much money am I going to make at the end of the day, and don't I look pretty? You know, that's what they're thinking of. And like, we can't lie about that. It's, you know.
But that's not the Catholic religion.
But no, I'm just saying the interest is that the it's not the same as it was 30 years ago, Jacinta.
Yes, it's not, because I have two grandchildren and I would never tell my son to dress up my grandchildren, to walk them down the aisle, to make them look pretty. I would advise them to go into the Catholic Church and do what they need to do as Catholics, as Christians, not to be dressed up to the 99s and look the best. That's not what it's about.
Okay, so you think leave as is what you're saying to me?
Yes.
I mean, okay, Thomas, there's a text here and I'm going to read it out to you verbatim, so please don't be too insulted, all right? Your school teacher there makes his job out to be really difficult. Let's be clear about it. He works 26 hours a week. He gets off a lot earlier than I do, and he has 4 months holiday a year. What's he moaning about? Okay, if you want to answer that, Thomas, you can. My answer to him would be, why didn't you become a school teacher? So, go on.
Why did you become a school teacher? The students might leave at 2:30, but I certainly don't get out the door at 2:30. I might stop teaching the lessons, but there's still the corrections and all the other work to do. There's very, very few days I leave before 5:00 and I still take a little bit home with me, but we won't get into that argument this evening.
Yeah, why can't, by the way, I've always wondered with teachers, why can't you just have your training days? On days that you're off, why do you have to have training days on school days so the kids are off again? Because unfortunately, a lot of parents rely on schools to be their babysitters.
Exactly, and you know what? You've made a very good point there. Like this, the parents rely on us to be babysitters, and like that, and to nearly bring up their children as well at times to teach them manners and religion, which is obviously the topic of tonight's debate.
Stay there for a second. Let me go to Francis. Francis, hi. How are you doing?
Hello, good evening.
Good evening, Francis. Go ahead.
Yeah. I kind of better if you ask me a question.
Okay, well, no. I suppose the question is, should we still continue to prepare the sacraments, communion, confirmation, confessions, in the school system, or should it be done outside of the school system?
Depends which school.
Well, if it's a Catholic school.
Who owns the school? If it's owned by a Catholic Church, it has to be Catholic.
Well, most of the schools are not owned by the Catholic Church anymore. They're owned and they're funded by the state. But a lot of the schools, 88% of, say, primary schools, would have what they call a board of management. And on the board, you would have, you know, the local parish priest, and they would be of Catholic ethos. So they're Catholic ethos because it is a Catholic country.
I'd say the principal probably will... kind of, he's in charge to choose what to do, how to rule the school. Like he's the main man. Like, you know,
but he can't just dump it out. It has to be an agreement amongst all the schools because they're all operated by the state. So he can't just, the principal can't just turn around and say, oh, well, we're not doing it anymore. Particularly if it's a Catholic school, because he wouldn't be allowed to do that. He wouldn't be allowed to make that decision.
I'd say this moment it sounds very complicated. Once the state start taking over the schools who before belonged to the church, so now it's kind of big, messy, very, very messy.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm not suggesting the church did a particularly bad job. There was problems, obviously, within the Catholic Church, huge problems. But when it comes to education, you know, for many years they did a reasonably good job because the state obviously just handed over education. As they did, by the way, the state handed over healthcare and many other things to the religious organizations because the state washed their hands with it. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. But we're not going back to the past, right?
We have to look
to the future.
Yeah, the future. Yeah.
Hmm. So what we're going to do in the future, right? But look, the world is in a mess. Like, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, right?
Hmm.
So, like, religious people, they just will trust God, pray, you know, what else they can do, you know? Live in peace with the neighbor, love everybody, and things like that. Live by the rules of the whole, like, of not Holy Church, I would say. Live by the rules, but the New Testament, right? In my opinion, it will be good if there will be, like, choice, yeah, for children. For example, I know there's some countries that have many, many denominations, let's say.
Non-denominational schools, yeah.
So what they do, they teach ethics. Instead, like kids can, parents, they have to sign up some kind of piece of paper, either their contract, like with the school, that they agree that their kid goes or religious, and they have to be some kind of teacher from certain, let's say, Protestant or Orthodox or whatever it is, yeah?
Mm.
Or it's Christian, right? But there has to be a teacher who teaches their kind of denomination.
Yeah.
From
that's the way it's meant to be here. You know, the teachers who teach in Catholic schools are meant to be practicing Catholics themselves. Meant to be.
The problem is that there is no teachers, even normally teachers in school.
Oh, they're in short supply anyway.
Lack of teachers overall.
Yeah.
So who's going to teach all this stuff? Yeah. Every church, like, let's say Muslims, they will, so they have to kind of separate their kids and then have some kind of mullah who will teach their religion in the school. Mm. In my opinion, it should be a Sunday school for these kind of things. You know?
That's not a bad idea, and I said that already. And I don't know whether Jacinta would agree with that idea. Jacinta, that, you know, we've got to a point now where there's so many religions, so many denominations, we have so much diversity in the country, whether you like it or whether you don't like it, it's there, that it's time that we maybe considered, you know, just teaching theology in schools, which is just a history about all religions. And if you want to practice your Catholicism or your Islam, that you do it, you know, on a Sunday, similar to maybe the Baptist churches in America.
Yeah, but we're actually talking about the Catholic religion today, tonight.
Why not?
We're not talking about any other religion.
Yeah, but go into an average primary school class in Ireland and see what it looks like. It doesn't look like the same primary school class we, you know, 50 years ago.
Yes.
There's Indian children, there's Nigerian children, there's all sorts of children from all different denominations. There's Muslim children.
Yeah.
I mean, we can have our debates and arguments about immigration and all that, but that's nothing to do with the children. They're the innocent parties in all this. They're the ones we need to educate. It doesn't matter where they're from.
The topic tonight is about
But that's part of the topic. That is part of the topic, isn't it? When you walk into a class and you see a mixture of different cultures and religions.
No. Your topic tonight on the radio station is about should the teachers teach the Catholic religion to the Catholic children in their schools?
Yeah, I know. But that's part of the argument.
Yes, that's the argument I'm making. Yes, I think it should be.
Oh, no, I know that's what you think. And that argument or that response 25 years ago when I walked into a primary classroom, and everybody sitting there was, you know, genetically Irish, would have worked. But it's a different Ireland, people will argue.
Yeah, but it's not different for the Catholic Ireland.
Hmm. Thomas, how do you respond to that very quickly? Because I have to go into a break. How do you respond to that? Jacinta, and many people like Jacinta will argue, sorry, this is Ireland. It's a Catholic country. Get over yourselves.
Like, as I said previously, like, we're no longer the Holy Catholic Ireland that we used to be. But like Jacinta there mentioned that she has grandchildren. How would she feel if her son didn't want to baptize her grandchildren? Like, would she have been happy with that and say, yes, of course, it's your choice?
Would she be insulted? Jacinta, would you be insulted? I don't know whether you have got grandchildren or you're planning in the future to have any, but how would you feel if one of your members of your family didn't want to be baptized?
I wouldn't be insulted because that would be their choice.
Mm, okay.
You know,
well, that's fair enough. Yeah, okay.
And then also, like, when we talk about diversity there, we have very poor diversity in the primary school system, even gender equality. Like, the majority of primary school teachers are middle-class, white, Catholic females. And I remember when I was studying in St. Pat's as a secondary school teacher, in one of my last years, a student from a Muslim background joined the course, and it was such a big thing that out of 400 primary school teachers, one of them that year would have been the first ever Muslim teacher. And I really think we need more diversity in our schools.
Mm. Why do you think, by the way, we went from having, just quickly, it's just a side issue, I suppose, when I was in school, 85% of the teachers were male, and now probably 85% or 90% are female. What happened there? Where did that swing come from?
Well, I suppose it might have been the fact that, I'm not entirely sure in your case, but you might have gone to a school that was run by brothers.
Secondary school was Christian Brothers, and we had one female teacher.
Yeah, and then in terms of your primary education, was it all males?
Well, almost all male. I can remember one female teacher, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I suppose that's I'm not entirely sure where you went to school, but like, I think on the most.
Now, Thomas, I'm 61, take that into consideration. Yeah,
like, so I know here, like, locally in the smaller primary schools, it would have been a case of one male, and he was generally the headmaster to three or four female teachers.
Mm.
Going back to since my grandparents' time, who'd be well into their 90s now if they're still with us. Mm. But I suppose it maybe not as an attractive career, particularly for men in primary schools. And even like that, when we look at the subjects, even at secondary school, generally the male teachers, if we're not English and history or geography, it's woodwork, construction or PE. Very rarely will you find a male home economics or art teacher in a school. So it's, that is, I suppose, another interesting debate for another night. Mm. But on the Catholic thing, Ireland is changing, it's evolving. The people of Ireland who are born and bred ancestors of Ireland no longer identify themselves as Catholics. It's not just people who call Ireland their home now. And I think we do need to move with the times in that regard.
All right, listen, Thomas, thank you for staying on as long as you did. Thank you, Jacinta. Thank you, Francis, for your opinion as well. Some of the texts coming in. Somebody says, hi, Niall, my daughter lives in New Zealand and has two children there. They go to a Catholic school and the kids there have a communion and confirmation on the same weekend. Confirmation is made first on the Saturday and a communion on the Sunday. They do learn a little bit of religion in school, but they have attended school, Sunday school, one Sunday a month for the year, and they make it work very well over here. Love the show, Rosie. I think that's probably what eventually is going to happen, much to the disappointment of most Catholics in Ireland. And by the way, I'm with you all that I love Ireland. I love what it was. The bad stuff, obviously, I don't like. And, you know, and more so than anyone, more so than me, I was born in a mother and baby home, for God's sake. So I know all the bad stuff. Magdalene laundries, all of the stuff the church did, all the wrongdoings of the church, the paedophilia, the reports, the cover-ups. I know all about it and I accept all of that. But I still have to respect that many people in this country, their primary faith is Catholicism. And even if they don't practice it every day, they identify as a Catholic. The majority of people in the country, still 80-something percent in the last census, identified as Catholic, although Thomas made a good point that young people more so didn't identify as Catholic. And I suppose it's the young people we have to respect going forward. It's got to be their country, not ours. I'm 61, you know. I only have, a couple of decades left in my life, just like anyone probably listening to this radio station right now. The demographic is a bit older. So, you know, you've all got a few decades left, but the kids have a lot more left. It's their country. We're leaving it to them. We want to leave it in good condition, in good nick. And we want to make it right for them. But remember, tradition is always not a bad thing. We have to hold on to some traditions. We have to hold on to our culture. And we must hold on to our identity. I think it's important, and I say this to people who are not Irish listening tonight, that if you come to Ireland, you have to assimilate. You keep your own traditions, of course, and your own values from whatever country you came from. But you must assimilate. This is Ireland. This is our country. We have our traditions. And you must assimilate into our cultures and traditions because we don't want to lose those identities.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.